My dad, Pastor Salem, spent his life sharing the truth of God's word with clarity and conviction. Through the continuing ministry of CWH, his messages still reach hearts today with the timeless hope found in Jesus. One of the great encouragements of this ministry is hearing from viewers like you. Let me share a recent letter. God bless everyone who makes CWH possible. When we all get to heaven, we will meet, and as Pastor Salem used to say, won't that be wonderful? Mom and I watch your program every Sunday on TLN. It's such a comfort to both of us. God helps us to take care of each other. You are our church. Thank you all for caring for the people. This letter is a powerful reminder that God cares for his people. Today's message is built on that very promise from 1 Peter 5:7. Let's turn now to Dad's sermon, The Sustaining God. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. God has been good to us, brought us another week. You know, one of these weeks, the Lord's trumpet's going to sound, and we're all going to be gone. And so if you don't know the Lord, you're going to be awful lonely. So that's why we got in our program, want you to come to know Jesus. Want you to be one that goes when the Lord blows that trumpet. You can be. You're sure welcome. But anyway, we're looking at Psalm 86, and we're going to be looking at thinking about helping the people that are weary and are downhearted. And if you know somebody, call a friend and tell him he's going to have a sermon to help people that are having a little hard time of it, a little discouragement or something, and the devil's attacking them, and just tell them to tune us in. Psalm 86, verses 12 to 15, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul. They have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, your long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And dear Heavenly Father, thank you. That's exactly what you are. And how we need that mercy and how we need that truth, how we need that long-suffering and guidance and help. And you do love, and you told us, Lord, you're touched by the infirmities of men. You know what we are because you are in the flesh with us, Lord, except without sin. And so you know how we feel, and you can minister to us, and you do, and we thank you for that. May this service bless many today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jan's going to sing for us, Does Jesus Care? And God bless you, Jan.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jan. And isn't that good news? Jesus cares. He cares for us. He's touched by our infirmities. We're going to preach about that today, about He cares for you. And so maybe you're a little downhearted. Maybe things have, maybe you got some bad news, or maybe you're not feeling just well. Maybe some of you young people are having struggles and having a battle with something, maybe the temptations of life. Or even the children. You know, children can have troubles and trials. They can be bullied at school. I was bullied at school. 1928, and they had bullies then. And there was one, and he just gave me trouble. And I'll tell you what he did. He said he was going to cut my ears, and he had a little scissors. And when the teacher wasn't looking, then he'd get that little scissors and clip that scissor. Scared me half to death, little kid, you know. And so, but I just knew Jesus was going to help me. I was counting on the Lord. Bless His name. So if, just maybe call a friend, say, in a hurry, and tune us in. We're going to bless hearts today. But first of all, our letters. And here's one from Sequim, Washington. And they said, please send me a copy of Heart of a Shepherd. I love listening to you Sunday mornings. May the good Lord continue to bless you and yours. I'm 90, and you got me beat. Yes, I've got him beat. I'm 97, and so I'm left him in the dust. But anyway, he's a friend of mine. He's a brother in the Lord, so, we love each other. But 90, that's a good age. You got friends at 90. Don't have a lot of them running around, but we have the Lord. Here's Papua New Guinea. Pastor Salem, you're the inspiration to every one of us who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. With your age, you are going strong in the work of the Lord Jesus. Love to watch your TV program on Daystar. Greetings and blessings. That comes 7,847 miles away. Isn't that wonderful how we can do that? We just thank God for the technology, and there's a lot of bad things happening with technology and TV, but there's a lot of good things too. And where the devil's there to fight, God is there to fight better and stronger. So here's these dear folks writing to us. It just makes us happy. And yes, we do want to just serve the Lord. Serve the Lord as you can. You know, you don't find retirement in the Bible. Now, the priests had to retire, but they had to stay on working and helping the younger priests. They just didn't go off out in the desert there and chase I don't know what you chase out in the desert. I get gazelles or something. I don't know what. I'm sure they didn't golf then, but who knows what they did. But they served the Lord. As long as they lived, they served the Lord. And you know what God told Adam? He's from the strength of the brow, you're going to earn your living. And he says, from the brow until you drop in the grave, until you turn back to the dust. Retirement isn't in the Bible. You know where you get the retirement? You get it from the politicians. That ought to tell you something. So stay with it as long as you can. Now, if you're old and you can't get around, and we have lots of them, and none of them are all old, God knows, but you can pray and you can witness and rejoice in the Lord. As long as you have breath, use it for the Lord. Well, let's see. We need a little laughter here. So here's somebody from Evansville, Wyoming. And they have a little joke here. It says, the doctor says, did you take the patient's temperature? And the nurse says, no, is it missing? And so we laugh a little bit. No, none of the people here laugh. And I think they're probably asleep by now anyway. But anyway, don't be afraid to laugh. Don't be a sourpuss. You know, some of you people running around, you look like 7 days rain. Look like you've been baptized in dill pickle juice or something. Cheer up. Like they told you to one fellow, says, cheer things up. Things could get better. So he says, I cheered up, and sure enough, things could be worse. He says, yeah, sure enough, I cheered up, and they got worse. So just be happy in the Lord. Just rejoice. Here's Racine, Wisconsin. I thank God I was able to find a church worship service for shut-ins. I'm a baptized Christian, but due to my disability, have not been able to go to worship service in years. God bless you and your ministry. And I sometimes wonder how many dear folk we have who just can't get out due to age or maybe some sickness or some problems that they have. And so that's what we're to do. We're to minister to these people. And, you know, God told Isaiah, says, comfort my people, comfort ye my people. And that's what it's all about. And believe me, the only source of real comfort is Jesus. That's solid. That's good. And when you know that Jesus cares and Jesus is with me and watching over me and he's my friend, oh, it makes a world of difference. Hastings, Minnesota. This is a sad letter. It says, our church closed some years ago. We haven't found another home church. So Sunday morning, we go to church in our living room. Thanks so much for your great ministry to all of you. And so we have in South Dakota, we have churches that are closing. They're little country churches, and the population is shifting around, and the little churches that now they have, they used to have, a man would have 500 acres to farm. He was, he could do, he'd have a family there. Now you got 5,000 acres and one man farms it. And so population declines. And with that, the little country churches have to close. And it's always a sad time because they have a lot of sacred memories in that church of weddings and funerals and children singing. And best of all, they have memories of people that came to know Jesus, poor little lost sinners, coming to know Jesus and had to lock the doors. But there's a wonderful place we're going. We're going to heaven. And there's no night there and there's no doors to shut us out. We'll enter that pearly gate and then we're safe inside forever. Oh, I can't wait. Going to be wonderful. Ottawa, Canada. I feel happy watching you preaching God's word. May God give you many, many years. Thank you from the Holy Apostolic Church of the East Assyrian. And so wishing him many more years. Well, you know, Psalm 90 is in the verse 12 tells us, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And we don't know the day we're going to be born and we don't know the day we're going to die. And that's the way God made it. And I think it's the nicest thing he could have done because here I am. What I'm wondering, we're wondering how, oh, maybe he said, God says you're going to die with a certain age. And when you get close to that age, what are you going to do? You're going to go crazy. You don't know what to do. And so just it's all in God's hands. He gave life and he is only one that can take it. Sometimes we hear about these women and they always say, well, I've wanted an abortion. That's my child. I've got to say so over that child. No, you don't, sister. No, you didn't. You didn't give it life. God gave it life. And God has a right to take it. You don't. So you better think that over again. Well, here's one from Havana, Cuba. And this dear brother writes, I've written to him before several times. He's just a dear brother. He says, my beloved wife, Martha, was called to the Lord 3 months ago. As you can imagine, it was a devastating event for me. I was at her side in this terrible moment. She passed away because of her long-time lung infection. I know she is now with the Lord in his kingdom. She was a wonderful person, and I want to express my thankful feelings for your prayers for her, your brother in Christ. And so this is just, here's a dear brother. I know what it's like. You know, you don't know what it's like to lose a spouse unless you've lost a spouse, unless you've seen her go. And I know I've gone through that with my dear wife. Stood with me 59 and a half years. And I tell you, if it wouldn't have been for her, I don't know if I'd even stayed in the ministry. She supported me and helped me. And in that 59 and a half years, she never said I had a bad sermon. And I know some of them were bad. They were so bad, I could tell they were bad. And I could see people shaking their heads and looking at their watches and everything else. And some of them pretend like they were sick and they headed for the door. It's a terrible thing. She said, never say, she might not say it was a wonderful sermon. She never said it was, I bombed out or ever thought about going to some other profession. Or like one lady told me, she says, oh, my husband, he just loves your sermons now since he lost his mind. So I get it all every way under the sun. But my wife, Beulah, stood with me, and here I am. You know, see, I'm almost 75 years in the ministry. And it is now 75 years I've been preaching the wonderful, glorious gospel. And it's just this wonderful. Here's Crawfordsville, Indiana. God bless you. I pray each morning for you all. Love to you and all your works. And this is to remind you all to pray for the Christian worship hour and the Christian ministry, because we need your prayers, and we pray for you, and you pray for us. And when we get to heaven, won't that be wonderful, and we can see each other. And I know you can see, some of you can see our program because we're on television, but the shortwave people don't get to see us. And we reach 95% of the world's population by shortwave radio. And won't that be wonderful to see them, and they can see me, and that'll wake them up. But we'll just have a wonderful time, and we'll all worship Jesus and sing praises and thank him for the blood of the Lamb. That's what they're going to sing about. Thou wast slain, and you paid for our sins with your own blood. Oh, that's our salvation. One more I want to share, and that is Wenatchee, Washington. Just a note that we heard your program. Oh, I like this. Just a note that we heard your program in the car today on the way home from church. As we pulled into our driveway, there was about 10 minutes left in your program. My 5-year-old son asked if we could listen to the rest of it. Great preaching. Both my son and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, the reason I like this is here's a little boy, 5 years old, and he can understand my sermons. I preach so the children can understand. I don't know. I got 2 long words I know, but I don't pronounce them right, and I don't know what they mean, so I wouldn't dare use them. So I just forget about that. And you know, General Booth taught his of a Salvation Army, and he taught his young men to go out and preach. And he said, you preach so the children can understand. And if you come to say, and it says that John the Baptist was beheaded, don't say he was beheaded. Say that they cut his head off. So the little, everybody knows. Everybody knows. I never forgot that. And here's this little 5-year-old boy, and he wants to hear the rest of the sermon. And you know something else those little 5-year-olds can do? They can accept Jesus. I accepted Jesus when I was 10. A 5-year-old can accept Jesus, and I'll tell you why I know. I have a daughter, Patty. She accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. She's a grandma now, and she still loves Jesus. And she knew what she was doing at 5 years. If you're 5, if you can love your parents, you can love Jesus. And don't come around telling me the children are too little to understand. And that's why I'm so thrilled here, this little boy. He wants to hear the rest of the sermon, and that it means more to me. I'm so thrilled. That's just what I've been praying all the time. So that's our ministry, and so we need help in our ministry. We need help. We need prayers, and we need gifts. And so you need to write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now we have to have your help. And so what you need to do is just watch the service and just say, now, Lord, just talk to Jesus. Time for the offering to talk to Jesus. Say, now, dear Lord, if you want me to use some of your money for that program? And if maybe he'll say no. He says, you need to give it somewhere else. And that's just fine. If the Lord doesn't direct it, we sure don't want it. I'm going to tell you that. But the Lord says, yes, you ought to support them. You know, maybe you're getting fed spiritually. You pay where you get fed, don't you? And so, yes, you ought to give. And then you say, well, how much should I give? And then you say, that much? Or I don't know what you'll say. But he'll tell you what to do. And I know what I know with that offering, exactly what you're thinking. Well, how's he going to spend it? Is he going to spend it on riotous living? Is he like the prodigal son during the week? I don't know what he does during the week. I just see him a little time on the hour. I don't know what he's up to. Well, let me tell you something. We are a member of an international organization. It is called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. They go through every page, every penny we get and every penny we send, and we're clean as a hound's tooth. So you can send it, you can know it's going to go in sending the gospel to the whole lost world, the whole world. We're all over the world. And another thing I want to tell you about is we have a little Bible study. And the Bible study is sent free and postpaid. We have a little letter we send out every month. And this is a little Bible study called The New Song. And the Bible study this month is How I Know I'm Going to Heaven. How I Know I'm Going to Heaven. And it's all Bible. We're not saying what I thought or I had a vision and I'm telling you this or I dreamed something. No, sir, it's the Bible. That's all that counts. If it isn't in the Bible, don't believe it. Don't go by it, see. And then another thing you can do, you can have this film, The Heart of a Shepherd. It's an hour long. It's about a 10-year-old boy accepted Jesus. I was that 10-year-old boy, by the way, became a pastor. And we present the way of salvation, how to pray to accept Jesus. And you can give it to a friend. Maybe you're hard to do a witness to that friend. You just give him this film, have him look at it. And so you just write us. We send it on a free will offering basis. So let me give it again because we got our wonderful people listening on shortwave radio. And that is Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And now our prayer. Jan, I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan. Well, our scripture is going to be Matthew chapter 6. And if you have your Bibles, I know some of you have your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And this is Jesus teaching his disciples, and so he's teaching us. Jesus says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and as tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father know that you have need of all these things. Then Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us to take this to heart and to never worry and never fret. And to know that you care and you watch over us and help us all the time. You've told us you'd never leave us or forsake us, and you'd always be with us to the end of the age, to the end of the world. And so, help us just to lean upon you completely. And Lord, today we think about the persecuted church, and we always just think about them and pray, and we know that, oh God, so many of them be put to death and homeless, and their churches are burned, and they're suffering for you. And oh God, we just wish you could come and take them all away and take them all home, that you could put an end to this world. And then, dear Lord, maybe you want to wait just a little longer for somebody else to come. Maybe there'll be somebody else that'll come. Maybe in this service there'll be somebody come. We pray there'll be multitudes that'll come. But we pray you'll bless the dear people of Kuwait. And just, oh God, help them to know that we just love them. And help them to know that we're stronger Christians because of them. That we admire them so much. I know I do. And I know on the Christian Worship Hour here, we just think that they're great, grand people. And they're going to wear a martyr's crown. We won't be able to have that. But they'll wear that martyr's crown, and won't that be something? So, Lord, this is your service. We ask your blessing on it, and in the Savior's name, amen. Before I bring my message, Hank's going to sing for us, "You'll Never Walk Alone," and God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
When you walk through the storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky, and the sweet Spirit of the Lord. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dream
God bless you, Hank. Thanks a lot. You know, Hank has been singing all the 40 years of our television ministry. He's been singing on that for us. And you know, Hank, sometimes I think the older you get, the better you get, because, boy, he can still belt it out. I wish I could preach like that, but we just appreciate him. He's genuine. He loves the Lord and serves the Lord. And he's got a message to him. He'll never walk alone. And you can take courage, and I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're part of that persecuted church. You don't know which way to turn, and you just don't know how you're going to get along. You don't know how to take care of the children, and you feel all by yourself in this world, but you never walk alone. Jesus says he'd never leave us or forsake us. We can always count on him, and he'll do that. And, you know, he walked through some hard times, and there's been all that Christian church. That's the story of the Christian church and his persecution. But there's always been those that have been true to the Lord, walking with the Lord, and knowing that he is there walking with us. So that's what we're thinking about today. Peter writes him in, he talks about this to the persecuted church of his day. And he tells them, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. The Living Bible translates this to read, let him have all your worries and cares, for he's always thinking about you, watching everything that concerns you. Or the Phillips translation, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. And then the good old King James Version, casting all your care upon him. This statement has no exceptions and it has no limitations, and it is for all ages and all times. He careth for you. There was a dear old Bible scholar, F.E. Marsh, and he wrote a sermon one time and he entitled about He Careth for You. And then he put the question, how does Jesus care for us? How does God care for us? And he gave some of these things, and I want to use them today. He says, first of all, God cares for you as a father cares for his child. That is, providingly. Many a good father's gone without things for himself so that he could provide for his children. And many fathers have sacrificed themselves for their children and for their spouse. And without complaint, they were because they counted it as a privilege. And you know, that's the way Jesus was when he went to the cross. And they think about how terrible it was and how awful it was. And yet they tell us in the book of Hebrews, God tells us, he who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You ever think about that? That was our wonderful Jesus Christ. That's our wonderful God. And he went because he loved us so much that he went to the cross, gave himself for us, did it joyfully. And by the way, when he did that, we were his enemies and his rebels. We weren't on his team at all. And yet he did it for us. And so God, the Heavenly Father, has given his Son, and he's given that joyfully and happily. David opens the 23rd Psalm by declaring, I shall not want. And that is that God is going to provide everything that we must have. Sometimes we want things we don't need. And I've used the offering illustration so many times of how that when I started shaving, it was a straight edge razor. And my first son was Dan. And a little boy wanted to use a straight edge razor. And that he wanted that, but that's the worst thing I could do is to answer his request. And sometimes we're asking God for things that he doesn't want us to have, or we're asking for things that are going to be for our detriment. We don't realize what it might do to us. And if we ask for a lot of money, there's not very many people can handle money. And so just be careful and know that the things that we have to have, God will give it to us. How will I live? What will I do? What will I wear? Jesus says, don't worry about these things, but just leave it to the Heavenly Father. He cares, and he'll provide. So he cares for the Father caringly. And then he says he cares for us as a mother cares for her offspring, and that would be affectionately. Mother's love has often been used to illustrate God's love, because a mother's love is deep and is strong and is tender. And yet, sad to say, I know of instances where mothers have forsaken their children, left their children. And David talks of this about a mother forsaking her children in Psalm 27, verse 5. So it was there in Bible times. Yet I will not forsake thee is a statement that God makes to us, and you can count on that. And that wonderful love of God and that affection of God and love of God will never waste away, never be lost. Sometimes, you know, love grows cold. It diminishes and drifts away. Sometimes that happens in a marriage. True love grows. True love grows. But sometimes, like the church at Laodicea, God said that their love became lukewarm. They were drifting. And God says to that church, I wish you were hot, I wish you were cold, but you're neither one, you're lukewarm. And because of that, I'll spit you out of my mouth. That is, I won't use you. I'll use another church, I'll use another people. And so the mothers, but by and large, that's a good illustration of a mother and her love. And I think of my mother and how she worked for us and took care of us as children. And oh, we were poor, we were desperately poor. We didn't have electricity, didn't have running water. She had five children, and she had her husband, of course, and then she a hired man or two, and she has to wash on a scrub board. I don't know how she ever did it, but that mother loved us and cared for us. And after all of her work, and I don't care what it was that she did, when we closed that day, we were three boys close together. And we all slept in the same bed, if you can imagine that. Well, we learned how to get along together right in a hurry. And so there we were. And my mother would come at night. And my earliest recollections of childhood is my mother, my loving mother. And she would come and she would read us a Bible story. And then she would have a little prayer. And then she gave us a kiss. That's my earliest recollections of my mother. And yet that's a picture of God, a faint picture of God. He cares for us, and he watches over us, and he loves us. And you have that old song, and the old people like it, and everybody likes it, the children likes it, and everybody likes it. Jesus loves me, this I know. And how do you know that? Because the Bible says it, and that's why we know it, because God tells us of his love, and he shows his love in the gift of his Son. And then he goes on to says, and he cares for us as a friend cares for a friend, that is, faithfully. And so we have friends. And I tell you, if you have a close friend, a dear friend, count that as a great treasure. Because so many times we have friends, but they're superficial, and they don't stand the test, and they don't last, or they turn against us. I've had it happen to me, and I know you've had it happen to you. Sometimes our friends desert us and disappoint us, and we can't be sure of them. They let us down. But the good shepherd will never forsake us and never let us down. And what does God tell us? He says, there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And I have two brothers that will help me any way they possibly can. And I have other relationships with my children that are wonderful friendships that you just can't put into words, worth more than silver and gold. And so that's the way God loves us, and it's a faithful love that will never fail. And sometimes when we fail the Lord and we just feel like Peter, I know when Peter denied the Lord with cursing, he says that he didn't even know Jesus, didn't know anything about him, didn't understand, didn't even know him. Then he heard the cock crow. And then it says he had a glance from Jesus. And I think when Jesus looked at him, I don't think Jesus looked at him with anger. Jesus looked at him with love, because he told Peter, he says, Satan has desired to have you, wants to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you and you're not going to fail, Peter. And Peter didn't fail. He denied the Lord, but his faith was there. And he came back to Jesus and walked with Jesus. So this wonderful Jesus, he's like a friend, sticketh closer than a brother. And when I fail Jesus, he never fails me. And when I need something, I know I can go to him and rely upon him. He loves us as a friend, faithfully. And then you can say that he cares for you as a gardener cares for a garden, and that is attentively. Have you ever noticed how many times in the Bible God speaks to his people and he uses figures of a garden or a vineyard? And you know, the symbol for Israel was a vine, the vine, the grapevine. And so you had the vineyard, and you see the Jewish people, they were people that cared for the sheep, and they had their gardens, and they had their vineyards and their places. And Jesus talks about the caretakers, and he has that wonderful story in John, where he talks about how that the gardener comes and he has to prune the trees, and the pruning is the cutting and it's a chastening. And times are hard, but in order to produce fruit and to grow and to be strong and to be all it should be, you have to have that pruning, that cutting. And so this is attentively, this garden is always there watching over us. Instead, the Lord works as a master gardener, and the soil is a human heart. And out of that heart, he brings love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. And he's the master gardener, and he cares for us and works with us. So he cares for me and attentively watches over my life and how I grow. And when he sees some of those worthless weeds in my life, he'll point them out. He'll convict me of them or put me in a hard place where I have to face these things. And there are so many times, and maybe it hurts at the time, because it says, now no chastening seemeth good at the time, but afterward it produces the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we really want done. But that's the kind of a friend Jesus is. It's a friend of what God is. It's attentively. And then it goes on and it says he cares for you as an eyelid cares for the eye. That is instantly. Do you ever notice how instantly an eyelid closes to protect the eye? Takes a split second for that eyelid to close. And many an eye has been saved because of an eyelid, the quickness of an eyelid. And so the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus comes, and God comes, and so many times he's there to watch over us. And even before something happens, we can see how our life might have been lost. But he was watching over us and keeping us. And I know there's been time there could have been an accident, that I could have been killed, but God just watched over it and the angels were there to care. And what does he tell us about it? He says, God is instantly watching over us all of the time. And when we get to heaven, I just bet we're going to be surprised at how many times that we could have lost our life or something desperate could have happened. But he was there in the last split second. He kept us and kept us safe. Remember that God calls his people the apple of his eye. And that's how close he is to us as a dear friend watching over. And so perhaps you're a shut-in today and you have different things in life and you just don't know what to do. But to know this, he is there, and in a moment's time, before you can even think it or before it can ever happen, he takes care of it, and he helps you, and he blesses you, and he watches over you. And you say, oh, I'm a nobody. He doesn't know where I am. But, oh, I'm going to tell you something, friend. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows that we're told that the hairs of our head are numbered, not counted, but numbered. And when one hair falls, a number is missing. And that's how minutely he knows about you all the time, watching and caring for you. And so there's a keeper. He watches over us. And it tells how that the Lord is our keeper. And it says in Psalm 121, verses 4 to 8, he says, and this is how this is put in the Living Bible, he will never let me stumble, slip, or fall, for he's always watching, never sleeping. Jehovah himself is caring for you. He is your defender. He protects you by day, you day and night. He keeps you from all evil and preserves your life. He keeps his eye upon you as you come to go and come as you go and guards over you. Friend of mine, what more can you ask than that? And the minute things, how he watches it so carefully so that not one thing happens. He holds our hands and he numbers our steps. And he hears our cries, and he furnishes our food, and he washes our feet and guides our feet. He bottles our tears. He knows our names. He clothes our backs. He gives us our daily bread. Yes, as someone said, food comes from the Father's hand into my mouth. This wonderful God watches over us and cares for us. And so when you have a downtime, just remember that God provides every day, every hour, every minute. I think it was Mark Guy Pierce who one time said, about every August, the whole world is within 6 weeks of starvation. If God were to blot out the sun from the heavens, there would be no harvest, so that no harvest could be reaped. The whole wide world would starve in a few short, desperate weeks. And so that we ought to remember that when we eat our food and be sure that we give thanks. Your food comes from God. It's from God's hand to my mouth. And that's how that he watches over us and cares for us. Dr. Vince was a great and mighty man of God. He was used of the Lord in so many ways. And yet when Dr. Vince came to the close of his life, he seemed greatly troubled. And during those days, he became ill several times. And then sometimes he became depressed for a time. And one morning as he sat by a huge bay window, he turned to his wife and said, "My dear, I fear I cannot possibly recover from this illness. And when I am gone, what will become of you? What shall you do?" And after a pause, he continued, "I know my people love you, but what will they do? How will you get along?" And he was very, very sad. And as this story goes, it's a true story, by the way, story goes that he heard the three or four little taps on the window. And there against the window pane was a sparrow with a worm in its mouth tapping against the window. And at once Vince remembered and repeated the words of the Jesus. When Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father," Matthew 10:29. His countenance brightened and no longer was he depressed. That little bird was a messenger of comfort from God, sent from God to bring solace and help and strength to a man who was doubting and was hurting. There was that little sparrow, insignificant little bird used by the poor. They were so despised that if you bought sparrows, if you'd buy a dozen, they'd throw in one or two free. And yet that little bird was sold them for a penny or less than a penny. The Heavenly Father watched over them and he knew all about them. They were never out of his sight. So the next time you see a little dead bird with the claws clenched and the feathers ruffled and it's being dead, you just turn it over with your foot and you'll say, "Little bird, my Father knew when you fell." Then Jesus tells us, are you much more important than they are? Just think of this wonderful care of God. It's there for all of us, for all of his children. For instance, that care of God is universal. It extends to every part of man, the very hairs of our head being numbered. A.T. Pearson says, when God didn't say that your hairs were counted, they were numbered. And when a number's gone, there's a number gone from the list. This shows that God cares. His care covers the tiniest things. And the other day we were viewing a movie about God's great creation, and it told about the stars, and they star more stars, as many stars as there is sand by the sea. And you cannot comprehend, even with the greatest micro telescopes, you can't see the end of the galaxies. And each galaxy has millions of stars. And yet the scripture says, the Bible says, that God gives every star a name and he calls them by name. And you said, "Well, I can't understand that." Of course you can't understand that. You're not God. Maybe you never will understand it, but God will show us. And that's what kind of a God we have. And sometimes when you pray and you think, "Oh, there's are millions of people in this world, and here I am in my little room, and I'm concerned about something, and I wonder if God knows." God knows all about it, all your feelings. He's such a wonderful God, and you need to rest on him and trust in him. I'm a somebody when it comes to God, and so are you, and so am I, and so are you. And then this wonderful care of God is also, it's universal, and it is constant. The psalmist said, "He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." The very same self-care is ours. when we belong to God. Night and day he watches over us. And sometimes as the nights are long and you wake up in the night and you're all alone and you wonder, he knows all about it. The keeper of the nights are there and he's there. And it's perpetual. That is it. He's at the end of the age. He says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. That wonderful care of God will never end. He'll always be with us. And then he cares for the weary, those that are down, little discouraged, and maybe they're tired, and souls are weary, and they cry out for rest, or they are like the troubled sea when it can't rest, and they just don't know what, and they says, what am I going to do? And God says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. I'll take my yoke upon you. God's sheep often become weary and worn. Take the old sheep named Elijah. He had a great triumphant experience on Mount Carmel. He drew fire out of heaven and burned up the altar and defeated the false prophets of Baal. And as a result of that, Israel turned back to God. And it was a tremendous revival. And he was so thrilled he didn't know what to do. And then here comes Jezebel, a wicked queen, a wicked, tough-hearted woman, a queen. And threatened him and said, Elijah, about this time tomorrow, you're going to be the way my prophets are. You're going to be dead. And Elijah, it just hit him wrong or something. And he ran for his life. And he went out into the wilderness part and he ran as far as he could. And when he couldn't run anymore, he sat down under a juniper tree. And under that juniper tree, he was weary and he was discouraged. And he was afraid, and he didn't know what he was going to do. And in his discouragement and all, he fell asleep. And when he woke up, what did he see? Did he see a God that bawled him out for running away? Did he see a God, Savior that told him, you are terrible for running away? No. He found when he woke, by the side, his side was a baked cake and a cruse of water. And so the Father in heaven didn't leave him discouraged. Didn't leave him defeated, didn't leave him weary and wrought, cared for him and provided for his sheep. There is weariness among some people today. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're agonizing. Maybe you're attempting to find rest in some law or degree or some way to save your soul. And you've been working about to save your soul. And then you think you got it all taken and you do something dumb and you fail. And then you think about Jesus. And this wonderful Jesus says, only just put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that weary, heavy laden. He says, come and I'll wash away your sins. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And this is so when he said, it is finished, it meant your salvation is complete. And you come to Jesus. And so today we're praying that if you don't know, if you know Jesus, and you're trusting Jesus, lean upon him. Put all your weight upon him. Be like the man who was stranded on an island. And there was a little boat, a little canoe, just big enough for him to get into. And that was all he had. And the tide was coming in. It was 10 feet deep. And all that man could do was get into that canoe and just lie down. And the tide lifted him up. The tide, little canoe saved him and kept him. He didn't do a thing, just kept him. And Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. If you've never accepted Jesus, pray right now, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, take my sins away. I'll serve you the best I can. And maybe you are a Christian, but you're just having troubles. Just lean on Jesus. Get in that little boat and just relax and rest. Let Jesus lift you up, those strong hands of Jesus. And maybe some of you young people having decisions to make. Maybe some of you older people are having other trials. Maybe some of your little children are having trouble at school with the bullies or something. I don't know. Just trust in Jesus. Lean on Jesus. And then write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Write to us, and we need to have your help. You need to help us, and give us a gift. the Christian Worship Hour. We depended on you. And then if you want the little paper, you write for us. We've got your address. Let me give it one more time for the shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for your people wherever they are. Give them courage, give them strength. And to those who don't know you, help them to come by the multitudes, that all may know the grace and saving grace of Jesus Christ. Bless your people. Bless us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we'll be praying for you, and you pray for us. Be sure to send that gift to help us along. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so you don't need to worry how it's spent. And always remember this, we give it over and over. God loves you. I don't care what your sins are. I don't care what you've done. He loves you. And he wants you to come to him for cleansing. And you can just do that. We told you over and over how to do that. But you have to do it. God loves you. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. We're all of us who are working here, most all are volunteers. And we're serving because we want you to know about Jesus. We love you. And I want you to know that I sure love you. And I do anything. I just give anything. I want to see you in heaven. And I just give anything if you just call in the name of the Lord and be saved. I believe millions are probably doing that right now. And we're going to see each other in heaven. And won't that be something? So God bless you until next week. If the Lord tarries, we'll see you then. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.